Welcome to the Post Game Plan, a career development home for all current as well as former NBA players. My name is Ali Samani. Today we have another special guest. His name is Kevin Lauder. He's a former basketball player in the NBA, and he's played three seasons. He was a 17th overall pick in the 1981 NBA draft, and he's done exceptionally well off the court and beyond his game in the NBA. He's currently the project manager at GEM, Green Environmental Management, as well as the owner of TBB Consulting Group. We're delighted to have him. He's also a former vice president of the National Basketball Retired Players Association, Legends of Basketball Houston chapter. Is that right? Did I get all that right?
I'm the present vice president. Last name is Loader. You did really well on everything else.
I tried, man. I tried. All right. So how are you doing, Kevin? How's it going?
All is well, Ali. Enjoying a very good fall day in South Texas, and really enjoying. We had some great weather over the weekend, and looking forward to a cool front coming through here. But excited about what's happening here with the chapter, what's happening here with my business, and just overall excited about life.
That's fantastic, man. I know it's a great segue because I know you're doing a lot of things from a career standpoint as well as contributing towards the NBRPA. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, you played three seasons in the NBA. You were the 17th overall pick in the 1981 draft. Tell me a little bit about the time when you were playing. When did you really start thinking about your life after the game?
Well, I think that it began even before I ever reached the NBA. I was fortunate enough to have parents and grandparents that instilled in me that to look at the whole picture, that sports was simply an avenue that really afforded me, that my education was something I needed to invest in long before I ever got to the NBA. Although my dream was really focused on playing sports, I loved them all. I was All-State in football, All-State in basketball, top seed on the tennis team, played 2 years of varsity baseball.
Wow.
14 varsity letters, you know, really had more collegiate offers in college football than I did for in basketball, but, you know, basketball being my passion. But, you know, leading up to my junior year, which I was offered a contract to come out of school early, which at that time, old school, they called it hardship, and turned it down because I knew that the actual counsel that I received at that time was that my longevity was in my education, that I would be, you know, a father, a employer, a civic citizen longer than I would ever be in the NBA. So I chose to go back to school, get my degree my senior year. It proved to be financially rewarding. I got about $200,000 more in guarantees and received my degree in marketing with a minor in management in 1981. So I walked. And this year, actually, I'm going to be going back to my alma mater, Alabama State University, to actually be a keynote speaker for our 30-year anniversary of my graduating year.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Congratulations. What a full cycle.
Yeah, thanks.
A great way for you to obviously contribute back to and kind of share your story with your fellow alumnus. Is that right?
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true, and we're excited about that.
That's fantastic. Tell me a little bit about some of your – when did you kind of transition – what was your first career coming out of the league, and what did you do, and how did you prepare for that position?
Actually, my first position out of the league is that I signed a 5-year deal. 3 years of it was guaranteed. my fourth and fifth year were option years, and I was cut by the Pistons that year, right before training camp. And so I had opportunities to go overseas and play, but decided to use my degree and went to work for Zenith Electronics as a buyer down in Evansville, Indiana. And that began my career in corporate America, and I always have had a motivation towards being an entrepreneur. And about 6 years ago, first BTBB Consulting Group, which is was actually birthed out of a relationship with another Hall of Famer, Elvin Hayes, where we began to talk about forming a consortium of construction contractors to go after some contracts down in during Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
And since that time, I've kind of gone on my own and do that to work with nonprofits and small businesses to help them expand their capacities in various areas.
Wow, that's great. Now, when you were kind of coming out of the league, I mean, obviously there's a certain element of transition there. Did you have to go through an interview process for a position at Zenith Electronics, and did you have to create a resume, or did you know somebody within the company, and that's how you kind of forged that relationship?
You know, it's interesting you say that. You would think that, you know, an NBA player could revisit a lot of those networks that had, you know, often kind of patronized you and said that, you know, whenever you need something, come and see me.
Exactly.
And that was not the case once I began to transition, in that, you know, we had to really kind of earn our way in, and that was what happened for me. And so the interviewing process and preparation, you might want to consider this, trial and error, if you will, that a lot of those networks were not open doors, and really had to prepare myself to deal with, you know, starting over and starting from the ground level. So, but there's something to be said about that, that, you know, working through those challenges were only stepping stones that were required to be the sum total of every experience that you can utilize to get to the next level.
Absolutely. No, I mean, obviously that transition, you know, looking back now, it seems as if it was, I mean, I'm sure when you're thinking about it, it was probably a little bit more challenging than it probably seems. And what kind of advice would you give individuals that are, you know, currently playing and just about to transition? What are the things that they could do to kind of prepare for that moment? Because it is a little bit challenging. I mean, you don't have, potentially the tools to succeed at that moment. Maybe you don't have the networks, like you said, all those individuals that, you know, kind of offered you, you know, anytime you need me, let me know, and they're not there anymore. What do you kind of suggest to those players?
Well, first of all, that it is quite challenging, and preparation is a key word in that. That I believe that, you know, preparing and planning is a better transition, because it simply means that I thought through what I will do next, and I'm not just kind of feeling my way through.
Right.
I think that that, you know, it is it also has a higher percentage of success, in meaning that the outcomes, you know, I can measurably find out, you know, the direction that I would like to go. Financially, you can prepare better with a plan than you can to kind of feel your way through. I think that the feeling your way through is a much more expensive proposition.
It's
more time to really process what is required for a transition. We're finding out that, that process, you go through a range of emotions and feelings behind that. And I think that, the more prepared and planned you are, that the better you are mentally, prepared to be able to overcome some of the bigger barriers that you've never faced before.
Yeah, I mean, I really like what you just said there. I think it's worth reiterating. And one of those key points was preparation. And that means that essentially, when I'm listening to you right now, it seems like a lot of your preparation essentially, and you kind of alluded to this, the fact that it's so important to, figuring yourself out is one thing. It's a little bit challenging. But when you have a certain direction, it's significantly more easier. Now, that being said, I mean, I think your degree definitely probably helped you out with that. It gave you an understanding of what was out there, finishing the degree, understanding what opportunities existed. And what I would suggest, I think you probably agree with me here, is that when you are in the league, you want to kind of explore different opportunities, explore different fields and areas of professional endeavors that you might have. That way, when you are, transitioning out, you have a certain area that you're interested in, because just fishing for an opportunity can become, a very challenging process. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that being goal oriented is always a good thing. I think that once you write that vision down of how you will get to those goals, that process of development, that process of growth, the process of getting prepared is one that is necessary. We live in a society today where, everybody's looking for immediate, expectations, immediate positive outcome.
Right.
And I just think that the plan keeps you on focus. There's a lot of distractions out there, and it keeps you building. And in setting those goals and marking them off is always good for a man or a woman in their psyche and preparation to getting anywhere, not just in the sports area, but in life in general.
Absolutely. Now, can you tell me a little bit about your work with, as the, the former vice president of the National Basketball Retired Players Association? What are the things that you kind of worked with, and what are some of the challenges that some of the retired guys are facing?
Excuse me.
No problem. Bless you.
I think that a lot of the retired guys are facing, what is the next plateau for me?
Right.
I think that the disconnect, first of all, from a sport that you spent most of all your life participating in, and the finality that I will never play the sport again at the highest level. That separation and divorcing is one that it brings a lot of anxiety. It brings a lot of depression. It brings a lot of other dark clouds along with it, especially when one is not prepared. Even though the sport may have been good to you, it's still something that it's been a marriage that you've been in for a long time. So guys have trouble with that transition. The other piece is that if I have not really found out what I'm good at, or I have not invested in a degree, meaning that, the idea of getting the degree is that I have completed something, and it's something about completion that says that it's a, it gives us a sense of accomplishment. And, a sense of investment. And I believe that if where there is no investment, there's no advancement.
That's right.
So it advances you to the next stage. So I think that the investment in the plan and guys, getting through that transition period, that transitioning, understanding, doing the assessment, spending the time to know that I set a goal, I plan to be at this pace or this place when at this particular point, and beginning working towards that goal. Don't be afraid to fail. It's okay. It's in the crisis that we really get our greatest experience and our greatest wisdom.
Absolutely.
Where we're going. So just not being afraid to and intimidated about that transition. With the retired players, there's been a range of stuff. A lot of guys have not necessarily prepared themselves financially. I fell in that category. I had not prepared for only having one contract and out. That, I had expected to, sign another deal and another deal, and it didn't happen. And so I had not necessarily put a lot of money in the coffers, even though I was a business major. And so that was a transition that was also very difficult. That, I wasn't making the kind of six-digit income at that time and had to make that adjustment. So, the average career is about 3 years long, and retirement is about 50 years. So the thing is that the average retirement for everybody else is usually around 20, 25 years. So we're retired, twice as long as most people in most positions. And, it doesn't matter how much money you've made if you haven't prepared for the length of retirement in which you will be able to live, your life comfortably. So those things have to be prepared for. And I could, say that those two, three things would be, just having a plan in place on how you're going to make that transition.
Wow, that was great. I think some of the key points that you made there were preparing financially, obviously preparing from a career standpoint, and trying to understand what it is that you enjoy, what you're good at, and how you can leverage that in the future. Because I really like the point of that, the average career is about 3, and I think now it's around 5 years or so. But at the same time, your retirement span is around 50 years relative to an individual that's not in professional athletics, or a professional athlete for that matter. In his retirement, or his retirement year might be 20 years. So you have a lot of time to work with and essentially create something out of yourself, whether it's, reforming yourself and redefining yourself in a new industry, or, investing in businesses, making different types of investments that could benefit you. And the only way to really understand that is through preparation.
That is true.
All right.
That is true.
So,
yeah.
I think, tell me a little bit about, some of the projects that you're working on right now. That would be, I guess, BTBB Consulting Group, as well as GEM Environmental Management.
Well, BTBB is my own consulting group.
Right.
It's a limited liability, it's LLC. BTBB stands for Blessed to be a Blessing.
Okay.
I want to also register that I am a man of God, so I put God first in everything I do. So that's why you hear that connotation to being a spiritual man.
Absolutely.
That particular company, I work with small businesses and nonprofits to really kind of expand their capacities and helping them to formalize, to be able to go after other kinds of contracts, to engage with other levels of corporate development, if you will, on a global scale. So that's what BTBB does in a nutshell.
And how, And how long have you been doing that for?
About almost 7 years.
Okay, and you work with Elvin Hayes on that project?
Well, the idea was birthed. Elvin and I still do some, we're still in some businesses together. We haven't done anything with those particular contracts that we initially, we started out in disaster relief.
Okay.
Is where we began our relationship, and we haven't done some of that in a while, but we still talk, and we're still talking about how we can get that done.
Right.
Now, Jim, Green Environmental Management, that is God's newest vision for me. I've been with this organization since about June, and I'm the project manager for United States. This company was formed as a support to our parent companies of Swiss Green Solutions and also PowerMax. These two organizations provide water technologies, I mean, actually green technologies. One of the solutions that we represent in the technologies is water purification and water solutions, wind solutions, and also solar are three of our initial technologies that we represent. And we're down here in Galveston where we're bringing, we're going to be manufacturing what is considered an atmosphere water generator. This is machinery that you can imagine a dehumidifier or a air conditioner on steroids that takes condensation and humidity, turns it into clean drinking water.
Right.
We are be manufacturing there, creating about 3,500 jobs over the next 3 to 5 years here in Galveston County.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, we're going to different parts of the nation and the globe with this. But we are initially a Swiss company.
Okay. And are you involved in any other projects right now?
I thought you would ask that. I wear a lot of hats. I'm also the co-chair of the Galveston County Restorative Justice Community Partnership. This is a coalition of providers and corporations, community development corporations that assist men and women coming back from incarceration. I also sit on a couple of boards, the Community Development Corporation. I'm director of security for our church and work in different capacities in that particular realm. And on the spare time, which there is none.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm the father of 6 adult children and grandfather of 18.
Wow.
So being married right now is we're enjoying. We have 2 of our grandsons with us now, 6th grader and 8th grader. So I'm a proud papa again.
Wow!
So.
Wow! Congratulations. Among all of your other successes, which is, you know, an amazing accomplishment. I mean, you're involved in so many different types of projects, and is that something that you would suggest to other players? Because it seems like has given you an opportunity to kind of keep that multitasking as well as competitive environment within your life, at least within the structure of your life.
Well, I think it's important to create balance in your life, especially for young players coming out that may have families. It's important that you invest in your families and that, you know, you process the development of your career, that you don't get into a mindset of desperation or you don't overtax yourself too much. My involvement today has been over a period of time where, you know, my experiences, now that I'm 52 years of age, have brought me to a place where I have a lot to offer and a lot to transfer in reference to those particular skill sets that have been developed over a period of time. I don't prescribe to anyone to, you know, jump into anything hastily.
Right.
That you need to, you know, really, you know, investigate, but not to drag your feet and not to be so intimidated about sowing your time and being a part of any kind of service organization, getting into grassroots. I think God can order your steps when you are putting yourself in a position of service, that we're all not, always not looking for how we're going to be reciprocated, but looking for the opportunity to be able to offer. And in that, God can add to that, and you'll find yourself being used in a mighty way that that rises above what you may have thought to be some of your gifts and talents.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I think you could, one could really learn a lot, especially when you're in the process of contributing, because it's such a selfless act. So I think that's another highly recommended point from Kevin as well as myself. Kevin, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I know that, you know, this has been a fantastic interview. I know that my listeners has definitely gained a lot from this interview. Can you, at the end of each show, we have a kind of a pay it forward moment. And I know you've dispensed a lot of wisdom on our listeners, but if you had a couple of, you know, key points that you wanted to really highlight, what would they be for individuals that are both, you know, playing in the league as well as retired players, you know, that could help them with their off-court kind of advancement?
Well, what I would say is that, first of all, keep God first. In your life, I would also say identify a mentor, somebody that's greater than yourself that you will be accountable to, and then also to develop a relationship of being a mentor to someone else that's coming along. So long as you're being mentored to, and that you're also mentoring, I think that you will see that transfer of wisdom and knowledge will come through. Your steps will be defined more clearly, and you'll have better outcomes, and you'll find yourself not spinning your wheels, but finding your way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Kevin. This has been the Post Game Plan with your host, Ali Samani. Today's guest was Kevin Loader. Kevin, I want to really appreciate and thank you for taking the time out for this interview. Really appreciate it, and we'll hope to stay in touch, and definitely we'll keep you in mind, and hopefully we can have a second interview with you later on down the line.
No problem. Thank you, Ali.
All right. A pleasure.
Let me know where I can find this this interview and this stuff on your website. Okay?
Most definitely. Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you, Kevin.
Have a blessed day.
You as well.